Hey everybody, welcome back. It's Jeff Mills here along with Perry Belcher. We're excited to have another pre-conference interview call with you guys today. And we're going to be talking about some of the stuff going on in social media. A lot of the conference this year with Midwest Super Conference is focused on social media. And we're bringing in some of the experts in the different parts of social media. For example, we've got Mike O'Neill coming in talking about LinkedIn. And we got Ron Davies coming in talking about some of the stuff going on Twitter. Perry Belcher is going to be kind of talking about the whole thing, but as well as some other aspects of social media, Facebook and some other stuff that he's been doing out there, as well as Twitter and kind of his strategies. But he claims, and you got to tell me if this is true, Perry, is it true that people can learn how to, on average, monetize their followers, their connectors, their people who to their social media, $1 per follower a month? Is that right?
That's my goal every month, is $1 a follower, and we hit it most months, and some months shoot way past it.
Yeah, and you know, for that might blow people's minds, because most people are probably out there trying to get followers but not understanding the whole monetization strategy behind it. And you know, we'll get into the whole social media conversation stuff, talk about what is social media and why that matters. Tell people just about your background a little bit, where you live, kind of what you've been doing out there for a while.
Sure. I live in Austin, Texas. It's a great place down here. It's home of hippies and rednecks and everybody else that you tend to get along somehow. I live down here. I've been here for a couple of years, and I was born in a little town called Paducah, Kentucky. It's a, I always say Paducah is the sound a dead body makes when it hits the floor.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, that's where I was born, in a little town, and I grew up there in a pretty basic. My mom was a single mother, and I grew up with my grandmother a lot. And for whatever reason, it's kind of had a burning in my gut to go into business. And when I was 19, I went into a jewelry store business. And by the time I was 21, I had 42 jewelry stores.
Wow.
And, yeah, pretty wild, because I was too stupid to know you couldn't do that.
What was the secret? I got to ask you. So to go from that quickly with lots of jewelry stores, are we talking direct marketing? Like, what was the big buzz that
made that thing go? No, it was actually retail. My beginning was in retail.
Yeah.
And then within a year, what I don't usually you always talk about it, but I always joke that I don't talk about it. Within a year, I was broke.
Yeah.
I was flat broke. I lost everything.
Wow.
So, which is just a testament to the fact you shouldn't make $800,000 when you're 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah, you kind of blew through it pretty fast, didn't you?
You blew through it pretty fast. And so I kind of went in and out of a number of things, and I was in manufacturing for a while, and I was in retail a couple of times. I've done just a little bit of everything, but always been in business. You know, and some have been successful, some have flopped. I've sold some businesses, and I always talk about the pink elephant in the room, because some people know my recent background story, and some people don't. I always try to get it out.
Sure.
And I'm very transparent about it. But about 2 years ago, I had six businesses. I was at the peak of my business career. I was doing about $30 million a year online. And I've sold at least documented $60 million worth of products. I'm pretty sure I've sold over $100 million worth of products, but I can't document that for sure. I can document $60 million
right
online. I had a bunch of businesses. I imported products from China and sold them online. I manufactured cleaners and sold them online. I had a printing company and a bunch of other stuff. One of my companies I had was a dietary supplement company. And, you know, if you've ever heard, you can get in a lot of trouble being in the health business or the supplement business.
Yeah.
I kind of got made the poster child of that.
They just picked you up and said, this guy must be doing something wrong, so let's go find out.
Well, I was kind of at the top of the mountain, you know, and if you're really out there with lots and lots of exposure in that business, you can become an irritant to people.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of political pull and things. Anyway, I don't know. I can only guess at why I got targeted of the thousands of people that are in that business. But I think it was just really exposure and how much. And honestly, I had kind of gotten a place in my life where I'd bought into all these gimmicky marketing techniques and all this overhyping and, you know, well, I can say that, and it sounds really, really, really good. I know it'll sell a lot of stuff, and it's pretty much the truth, you know. You can convince yourself of anything, you know.
Right.
And I had really stepped over the bottom line. I stepped over the line. I overpromised, and I broke a lot of rules. And man, I got smacked, and I got smacked hard.
Yeah.
And it was, I could get mad at the people who did it, and I could get mad at, you know, there were only 30, I had 37 consumer complaints over 5 years out of 978,000 customers. And that's what started it all, which is really important to know that if you're listening to this, every single customer you have counts.
Yeah.
Every time you see that line pop up in your shopping cart, there's a person behind that. And we're, you know, I'm acutely aware of that now.
Well, what happened? What changed as a result of that experience? What did you start?
Well, I lost everything that I had. I lost everything I had in the world. Everything I'd earned in all my years of business, everything was gone overnight. And I finally made a deal with the powers that be, and they got to keep all of my money and everything that I had, and I got to keep my name and my freedom.
Hmm.
And that's what happened. And it was pretty ugly, and I was really depressed. I didn't really care about the money. I lost the money, and I was like, man, that really, for whatever reason, I never thought about losing the money. It never really bothered me that much. What bothered me was having people maybe think badly of me.
Yeah.
And nobody that I knew did. No people that I knew in real life thought poorly of me. Everybody knew that I was a pretty decent guy, you know?
Right.
But there were people that, you know, there were bloggers and people who just, everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon with somebody.
People don't like marketers. There's people out there who, no matter what we're selling, for whatever great reasons we're selling it for, just hate the fact that we're selling stuff, and they think anybody who sells things is a snake oil salesman. And those people just don't understand sales. They don't understand marketing.
That's kind of what I fell into, that stuff you wouldn't think would bother you. It just almost killed me.
Yeah.
I could never take in public criticism like that, and they were just saying the meanest things they could. Anyway, so I just sort of sucked my thumb and was depressed for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And I have a good friend named Mike Dillard. A lot of people know. He's a good guy.
Yeah, no, Mike's a good guy.
And Mike called me one night, and he said, man, you sound awful, dude. And I said, yeah, that's all right. So what are you doing? I said, I'm not doing it. So, well, come out, let's go to dinner. And we went out to dinner, and had a decent dinner. And while we were there, he's fooling around with his iPhone. I said, "What are you doing, man?" He said, "Oh, I'm Twittering. I'm having dinner with Perry Belcher." I said, "What's a Twitter?" And he started explaining to me what Twitter was, and I really wasn't that enthused by any of it. It was just interesting. The next day,
what was the first thought that went through your mind? Why would I want to sit there and tell people I'm having dinner with Mike Dillard, right?
I didn't get it at all.
Yeah.
And I went on the next day, and I set up an account, and I started talking to Mike, and then I started talking to other people. And I saw people that went, oh, you know, I'm trying to write a sales letter, and I can't get a headline. So I'd go on and write them a headline. Here's a good headline for you. And they go, oh, man, thank you so much. You're so talented. Well, my business didn't work. This isn't working. Well, here's why it's not working. And I was just helping people, but based on experience that I had. And at this time, this was about a year ago, roughly. And I was in no way in the internet marketing training business at all. I had sold all these products in the past. I've been online now for 13 years. So I'd sold $50 million worth of stuff, but I'd never taught anything a year ago. And after a couple months, I had 4,000 or 5,000 people follow me on Twitter. And people were really interested in what I had to say and what I was doing. And what it did, it kind of gave me back some confidence and some self-worth. And it just felt good to make new friends, you know?
Yeah.
And people that didn't prejudge me and all that. And one of the first things I did was make a video that explained exactly what happened with all the, you know, with all the health stuff. Because I wanted to be, I didn't want to be in any way dishonest with people. I wanted to be totally upfront and above board and let them know everything that went on, you know? And I think people appreciated that honesty. And one day I was John Carlton sent me a thing. Said, "Hey, can you promote this thing for me?" And he had a good course out. I know John to be a great copywriter. And I said, "Well, I'll send something out on Twitter and see if these people want to buy anything." And I sent out a video on Twitter that John had put out, and it had an affiliate link tied to it. But it got retweeted by a bunch of other people. And the bottom line was, I sent out a message. I had 4,000 or 4,500 followers, and the link got 9,000 clicks.
Whoa.
Because it got retweeted by some guys that were way bigger than me.
Right.
And I made over $7,000 from that tweet. And I was like, man, you make money with this stuff. I had no idea at that point. I didn't have any intention to make money. And then I said, wow, that's different. And I've been a testing fanatic forever. So I started keeping a diary of everything that I did, every kind of headline I sent out, every kind of link I sent out. I checked how many people clicked on it. I checked how many people commented on it, how many people retweeted it, things I could do to get my messages retweeted, where to get good content, And I kind of came up with a content mix and basically I do everything in my life. I have a system for it because I can't function without a system. I got to have a checklist to go by.
Right.
So I kind of systemized the whole thing, and then the next thing I knew, I had 40,000-50,000 followers, and was just making stupid money, you know. And I filled up my Facebook and I filled up YouTube, and my YouTube videos got 500,000 something. Well, online videos, all my online videos together, have like 550,000 views now. I used to do a video and get like 10 viewers. And by tying everything together, what I figured out was basically I took a model from like Time Warner or Scripps Howard,
okay.
These big media companies. They go into a town and they buy like the radio station, the TV station, the newspaper, and the billboard company. They know that if they're all over the place, that they have they call it immersion, total media immersion. And they can totally immerse somebody into their thing, whatever it is. And that's what I decided to do. So I set up a YouTube channel and a Facebook and a blog and Twitter and 20 other social media profiles all together. And everything ties together in a very systematic way. So I kind of immerse people into my world, because I knew from past experience and copywriting and all that, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And what I recognized early on, I think a lot of people miss, is social media is not necessarily the fastest way to make money. It's the fastest way to get people to know you. And in turn, if they know you, like you, and trust you, and you give them value, and you have good transactions from the very beginning, whether free or paid, I think everything I do in social media is a transaction. If I'm giving somebody something, it better be good, because that's a transaction, whether it's free or not. And if I give them a lousy transaction for free, they're going to assume that any paid transaction they do with me is going to be lousy.
Right.
So I kept that in mind from the beginning and just protected everybody with an iron cage around them. And I realized a lot of things. You know, I realized who my friends were when I went through that experience. It was a tough experience, as you can imagine. But I realized who my really close friends were, who really stuck around, because if you're making millions of dollars, you got a lot of friends. When you stop making millions of dollars, you ain't got so many friends no more. You know?
Yeah, but the good thing I think someone said one time, you know, you take away everything from me, as long as I still have my friends, I can get it all. I can get everything back real quickly just by making a few connections with my friends and, you know, starting over from scratch. And with social media,
for me, I've always been, you know, I've always been pretty good at maintaining good relationships with my friends, and that was good, and it was a good part. But what really sunk into me, that hit me so hard, I felt sick about it at first, and then I just felt like I was lucky to have learned a lesson, was that all the hypey stuff that I'd done, I didn't have to do any of it. If I'd just taken a little bit of time to form a little bit of a relationship with my customers and be their friend first and their vendor or their merchant second, then I would have probably never had any of those problems that I had.
Yeah.
And now, knowing that, I mean, I did a total 180. I changed everything about the way that I do business. Now I don't try to get anybody to buy anything from me until they like me, know me, and trust me. And if they do, then I may ask them to buy something from me someday. But I don't try to do it in 5 minutes. You know, you watch so many people go into social media and they're out there, man. They're just like, hi, nice to meet you. Give me your money.
Yeah.
You know, the second you sign up for something, the second you follow them, they send you this auto message that goes, I'll go get my free ebook, you know, this piece of crap ebook.
So what's the trick? So let's just talk there. Let's just give some practical application to that, just with the Twitter, for example. If people are going to use a program like TweetLater or an auto-following program, do you subscribe to that? Do you think people should or no?
I don't do it anymore. I did use TweetLater for auto follow in the beginning when I first started, and it was okay. I think it's pretty impersonal now, and I think it's seen as kind of cheesy.
Right.
I mean, I think you're better off just to invest a little bit of time. I like semi-automated processes rather than automated processes. You know, I try to show people shortcut ways to do things. They're not automated, but they're kind of semi-automated, you know?
Yeah.
I like to look and see who I'm following. If I'm going to follow somebody, I want them to see they got a face, they got a personality, they're not a nut, you know? And I don't want to follow, you know, death to Satan, you know, crazy, nutty things, because I think it's kind of a reflection. of who you are. If you're following those people, who you follow is public.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of like to look, and it doesn't take that long if you block it out in a real systematic way. I spend about 15 to 30 minutes a day managing my network, and I've got 138,000 people in my social media network now.
Wow.
And bigger than, cooler than that, and the one thing that, and I'll be talking about this at your event, is that I figured out how I've moved 58,000 of those people onto my personal email list from social media. So now if Twitter blows up, Facebook blows up, YouTube blows up, everybody goes away, I own that 58,000 person customer base. And that'll make me money for a long, long, as you know, for a long, long, long time.
Right.
And I still communicate with those people in social media and via email. So it's just another way that I communicate with them. But by social media, I can talk to people 100 times a day, 50 times a day. They know me so much better than they know the next person that's my competitor.
Why don't you?
They
why
know
don't
me.
You...
They know my kids. They know what I like to eat. They know where I go on vacation. They know every. You know, I'm very transparent with people, and you kind of got to be.
You have to be on social media. I mean, like I heard the quote one time that says, "You know, the things your grandfather and grandparents did. You know, all we have is black and white pictures, and maybe like some ancient, you know, Super 8 video footage of them, and that's it. But our kids and our grandkids are going to have our complete lives documented based on the internet everywhere." Oh. We've been, what we've done with our lives, it's there. You know, we're in the media age, you know?
It's a digital legacy. You better think about it real hard, because everything you're putting out on the internet, if you're in the internet marketing business, your great-great-grandchildren have the potential of seeing.
Yeah.
And you know, you think about that. I challenge you, every time you put out something, say, is this something I'd be proud for my great-great-grandchildren to see when I'm older? Would they look at that and say, you know, Grandpa was a pretty good guy? You know, and that's kind of a weird thought to have, but it's just true. Every bit and byte's being documented right now.
Yeah.
You know. So, but anyway, gosh, I don't know where I was, but that's.
Well, here, let's go here. Let's go here. Go to the social media landscape, and you've got the whole party metaphor. Let's just get into that real quick.
And yeah, let's talk about that. That's cool.
That.
Yeah, and that's kind of what started things, the ball really rolling for me, because. I kind of, I'm from Kentucky, so like I said, so everybody's got a story, you know, so I get this country boy wisdom. So a friend of mine came over to my office one day, and he said, well, I'm trying to figure out this social media thing, how I can suck leads from Twitter. I said, man, it's not like that. You don't get it. You can't really do it that way. And I started drawing on a whiteboard, and a couple minutes in, he said, hold on, you got to stop. This is too good. I want to record this. And I shot a little video, and it's had like 70,000 views or something now. And I called it the party principle. And now when I did my launch not long ago, it got like 200,000 views in the S3 video. But anyway, basically to me, social media is like a party. You know, it's like going to a party. So when I'm on Twitter or I'm on Facebook or I'm on YouTube, I'm just trying to have a good time. Because when you're at a party, who's everybody drawn to?
Mm.
Person having a good time. The person's fun. The person's interesting. The person that's helpful. You know, person's complimentary. So I'm just trying to have a good time, trying to meet people, and trying to kind of introduce myself and get them interested in knowing more about me, okay? And if that includes me talking to them or finding common ground, that's fantastic. But what I don't want to do is be a total jerk, you know, and come out of the chute. And, you know, imagine, this is no different than just really real-life interaction. You know, if I went to your house and you introduced me to a friend of yours, out of, you know, out in your backyard, and we're talking, and it's a, and you said, hey, this is my friend Perry, and I said, hey, how you doing? Here, let me show you something. I brought this case with me, and I got these awesome Tupperware containers. I sell these on the side, you know, and when you open them, they make a sound, you know, every time you open them up, and you just put your sandwiches in there, and if you don't like that, I got some life insurance down there. I sell life insurance, too. That's my full-time job, and you're not looking real healthy, so, you know, if you want to get some life insurance, I can do that for you. And you know, this is a network marketing company I'm involved with, and this is you, and you know six people, and but surely I got something I can sell you. What can I sell you? What do you want to buy? What would your friend think of me?
Hey, you think you're an idiot?
Yeah, you'd be the biggest jackass the guy'd ever met, right?
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to ever invite me back to another party ever. That guy, every time he saw me, ever would cross the street, right?
Yep.
But people do this in social media every single day, and it's an absolutely idiotic behavior. And if you're doing it, I'm sorry, but, I mean, you're a dodo head, because it's never going to get you anywhere. And that kind of got social media the rap that, oh, you can't make money with social media. I tried it. I tried to spam all these people, and they wouldn't buy anything.
Right.
Well, yeah, you're right. You'd have about as much success going to the party trying to sell your crap at your friend's party. You know? So some people kind of started to get that a little bit. After the video came out and all that, people started to get that. But then they want to shortcut the process again, because the next thing that would happen, like if you had all these people at a party, what you might want to do next is find some people that are really interested in you. Like, invite them over to your house, right? Maybe you have barbecue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, when you're online, your house is your blog. And that's where a lot of people send people from Twitter to their blog. If you don't have a blog, you can use Facebook. It makes a really good blog. I use it as a replacement for a blog sometimes. But you go over to the blog. So many people make the mistake making the blog 100% about what they do and what they have to sell. This is still a courtship. It's still a courting process. People are going to your blog to learn more about you, not what you sell. Okay? That you should have your blog should be more like a scrapbook. Much more about you. Like when you go into somebody's house, what's the first thing you look for?
You look on the walls. You check out the furniture. See what they got in their house.
Yeah, you look at their pictures. It's one of the number one things, you know? You look at their pictures to see if they see what their family's like, what they're into, what their interests are. If you see if there's golf clubs in the corner, you see how they decorate the house, what kind of furnishings they have, what kind of style they have. You go through the medicine cabinet when they're not looking and you go to the bathroom, right?
Right.
You do that, right? I'm just kidding. But you know, people go, but you know why they do that? They're just trying to find common ground. Because everybody is seeking to meet people that we know, like, and trust. Because it's so hard to meet people in person anymore. That's the reason social media is exploding. Okay? So you go in the house. If you meet them at the door with a big arrow sign saying, go in here to this other room, and there's a guy in there that's going to sell you soap. They didn't come for soap. They came for barbecue.
Right.
It's just dumb.
So,
and the thing is, people go,
let me stop you there.
Perry, this all sounds like it's taking a lot of time, you know.
Let me stop you there and ask you this. Why is it that so many people screw this up? Like, what is it in the back of their minds that have made them want to just come out and go sell, sell, sell? Is it take a certain kind of a wiring in someone's brain to kind of unthink this? Because it doesn't seem it's natural.
They have to unlearn everything they've learned about internet marketing.
Okay.
Because most internet marketing, like, I was always trained, and it's the truth. I mean, I got test data. The more steps you put somebody through in a sales process, the less you sell. But you got to remember, this is not a sales process. This is a get-to-know-you process, okay? And it can last 2 or 3 minutes online. It doesn't take long at all. And all they got to do is know you a little better than they know the guy in the phone book. I teach social media to dentists all the time. Dentists love social media because normally you're choosing a dentist, you're flipping through the phone book. If you know a dentist on social media and Facebook or Twitter somewhere, and you know where he likes to play golf, and you know he likes frisbee golf, and you know that he's got two kids like you, and he likes little Yorkie dogs, well, you know a little bit about him, right?
Yeah.
You feel like you know him a little bit. You're much more likely when choosing a dentist to go to that guy than you are somebody just smack out of the phone book.
Right.
And it's similar in what you're doing. Now, so everybody says, well, where's the money, right? Well, let them have the barbecue. Let them enjoy themselves. But what happens, think about it. This is the part that I love to talk about, because eventually what happens, I don't know what ladies do, but guys all usually end up on the back porch, and the guy's flipping burgers, and there's 3 or 4 guys standing around. And if you don't know each other, what's the number one question that pops up? What's the first thing one guy will say to the other?
What do you do for a living?
What do you do for a living? Now, they just gave you carte blanche permission to talk about what you do. And one of 3 things is going to happen, okay? They're either going to go, oh, my gosh, you know, I've been looking for that. I'll take some right now, whatever it is. That's not going to happen very often, to be frank. Number 2, they're going to file that data back somewhere and go, well, that guy sells refrigerators. If I need a refrigerator, there's the guy I know, like, and trust, a little bit anyway, in the refrigerator business. They're going to file it back. Third, they're going to refer you to people that they know that need refrigerators or whatever it is that you sell. because some they're going to get a call in a week or two. Somebody's going to say, "Yeah, oh, man, I'm stuck at home. My refrigerator's broke." Well, you know, I met this guy at a party. I went to his house for barbecue. He's a real nice guy. He's got a real nice family, and he sells refrigerators. I bet he'd be real honest and do a good deal for you. Now, in real life, in person, that's the way it would work. Here's what's so wild and different about social media. On average, any person in their normal everyday life talks to 2 to 3 people a day. Really talks, communicates with 2 to 3 people a day. The average person in social media now talks to 500 to 750 people a day. This is the biggest referral network in the world. Okay? And everybody has a little mental Rolodex of who does what. And they see people looking for different things, and they can refer them. Okay? This is not anything that I invented. It's not my idea. If you look at other businesses, giant businesses, one of the biggest being like the law profession. If there are any lawyers listening, you know that like in big law firms, you got two kinds of lawyers. You got partners and you got associates. The associates do all the work. And usually, you know what? This is the big secret of law firms. They're usually the best lawyers. They're usually the best lawyers, not the partners. Hmm. You know what the partners are good at?
Going to the parties, networking.
Going to parties, hosting parties at their house, playing golf on the golf course, going to the country club, because when they're sitting around the clubhouse smoking cigars after they play golf, one of the guys says, "What do you do?" "Oh, I'm an attorney." "Oh, really? You know, I'm having this trouble with this guy in my backyard. He's got a fence that's over the line. I need somebody to help me with that." "Okay, I'll help you out." That's the way that works. And then that guy refers them off to an associate who has to do all the work. But guess who makes the lion's share of the money?
The partner does.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
This is not a new model. Almost all, I got to meet the president of, I went hunting not too long ago in Mexico and did a quail hunting trip. And while I was there, I was with this guy, and I won't say the name of the bank, but I was riding in the van going the hunting trip with him, and he was with his son-in-law. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I work at so-and-so bank." And I said, "Oh, okay, well, that's cool. I know some people down there. I know this guy and this guy." And I said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm the president." And the guy was the president of this big, I mean, you'd know the name, giant bank. And so we got to talking. We spent a whole week together down there hunting. And he said, "Man, you got to have a tough job." I said, "You keep up with all that stuff?" He said, "Man, I don't really keep up with anything."
A true entrepreneur. He outsources everything.
I go to political parties, charitable functions, host functions at my house. He said that he attended or hosted an average of 5 events a week.
Wow.
Either luncheons, rotary breakfasts, things at his house, go to other parties, go to charity functions, things like that. That's his whole job. Because guess where them great big deals get done?
Hmm.
At those parties. Because there's a big land developer there that needs a $50 million loan. That if you ever, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, Jeff, because I don't know exactly what all you've done in the past, but I used to sell stuff to stores, sell stuff to chain stores, and I've went in and been in direct sales before and selling to companies. And it's so frustrating. I never knew until not long ago that I used to go into companies and I go, "You know, I've got this widget. I know you're buying a widget that's not as good as my widget, and you're paying more for it." And I'd leave without an order. And it was so frustrating to me, I couldn't understand why. I had a better thing. It was cheaper. You know, everything about it was better. They still didn't buy from me. And now I know why. They had a relationship with somebody else that they knew, they liked, and they trusted. And that's the big deal. That's the big deal with social media. That's the big aha. And what you got to start thinking about as soon as you start in social media is think in transactions. Everything is a transaction. If I give you a piece of, if I give you a link to a piece of content, and I say it's good, and you open it and it's good, then we've had a successful transaction, and you trust me that the next time I send you something and I say it's good, it's going to be good. If I ever break that trust, I'm in trouble. But if I maintain that trust and only send you good stuff, when I send you out something that I say is good stuff, that's a monetary transaction, you know, the law of consistency kicks in. Every time I've ever done a free transaction with Perry, it's been a good transaction. It's been as described or better. So I'm going to try a monetary transaction with Perry because I'll bet it'll be as described or better. But I'm going to tell you about social media, guys. It'll keep you honest. You better believe in what you're selling, and it better be good. And that's just the truth of that. If you're going to try to peddle off some crap and try to make a fast buck, it will burn you down. And that's just the truth of that.
How does a person manage this? You say you do this in 30 minutes a day. How do you manage the conversations? Are you using some tricked out TweetDeck stuff? I mean, where are you putting your time and focus?
I use TweetDeck. That's it. I don't use nation tools. And what I use, I've got a couple of little secrets. The coolest things about Twitter, particularly, because we don't have a lot of time to talk about other things, but Twitter particularly, there are two big ahas with Twitter for me. One is that all Twitter lists are open source. You know, you can find people who are like-minded to you on other people's lists, and those lists are wide open. You know, like if I ask you to give me your list of customers or to give them to all your customers, send them out, you tell me I was crazy, right? Your
right.
email list.
Right.
But some of your best people are following you on Twitter. Your most loyal fans are probably following you on Twitter. And those lists are open source. Yeah, I had a client sells organic foods or information about how to grow organic foods. And she said, I can't find anybody that's in talking about organic foods on Twitter. And I went over to the Whole Foods Market website, the Whole Foods Market Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
They have 1 million followers.
Wow.
All people passionate about organic foods that Whole Foods has gathered over there. And all they're doing is shoving them coupons and stuff. They're not passionate about anything. See, the big advantage you have in social media as a person, people can be passionate. Corporations cannot. Okay? These corporations are doing a good job at gathering a big list that you can just go in and suck away from them. Because I promise you, those people who are interested in organic foods would much rather talk to a person that's passionate about organic foods than get coupons from some stupid store. Okay? So all lists in Twitter are open source. So as you build your list, you start following and befriending people from people like-minded. You know, if you're into personal development, Tony Robbins has 1 million people in his list. Some of those people would be interested in talking to you probably. If you're into, you know, whatever it is you're into, it doesn't matter. Somebody out there has a Twitter list already gathered that you can go borrow from. Okay? That's number one. Number two, the cool thing about sending out content on Twitter, which I send out a lot of content, and yes, how I do it, I only send out pre-tested content. I don't spend a lot of time digging through tons and tons of data to find really good content. I use a couple of shortcuts, and one of my biggest is a site called stufftotweet.com. And Stuff to Tweet, it's a stufftotweet.com. Stuff to Tweet is a site that aggregates the biggest blog stories and biggest voted by people, okay? Voted by thousands and thousands of people. The biggest blog stories, the most watched videos on YouTube, the most viewed pictures on Flickr, the most of everything that's hot today, and it updates like every 30 minutes. And you can almost always go there and find something interesting to send out to your list of people on Twitter or Facebook or any of the social media sites, something that's going to kind of loosely apply to what you do.
But it's not necessarily self-promotional. This is just, hey, I found a good article.
It's all free stuff for the most part. Yeah. This is all stuff you're going to give away for free. And one of the big secrets is that if you constantly send out stuff, this is pre-tested content. Thousands and thousands of people have said this is good. Okay? So you don't have to dig for what's good. People are already telling you through these services that are absolutely free, by the way. It's a free service. They're telling you this is a super popular story. Almost everybody that read the story loved it. Okay? So if you find those things and you consistently send out this killer content all the time and it's free, guess what every one of those is? It's a transaction. So that when you slide in your monetary transactions, I use about 5%. Anywhere from 2 to 5% of what I send out is monetary. Does that make sense?
Right.
So 2 to 5% is monetary. But the thing is, I can send out 100 tweets a day, and it's totally okay as long as they're all good. So I can put out 3 or 4 promotions a day in Twitter if I want to. You couldn't dare do that via email.
It's true.
I don't send out directly to sales letters. I don't send out directly to squeeze pages. I send people to good content that helps. I don't call it sales stuff. I call it content that makes me money. I send people to videos that I do or that other people do that are helpful and informative. And at the end of the video, they may have an offer. That's fine. As long as I feel like that content is helpful and useful to my audience, I'll send it out. Okay? So that's what I try to do, and it becomes content that sells, basically. And that's the kind of the it's a broad stroke, but that's the broad stroke of how I've been able to make a dollar a follower a month.
What about
without
Facebook?
Making anybody mad?
How about
that's
Facebook?
The key.
Let's go into Facebook.
Because pissing people off is the tough part. You know, you can really make people mad in social media, and I've tested 40 different ways to monetize social media, and only 8 of them work and don't make people mad.
How does Facebook connect with you to using that as an information releasing system? Same way as Twitter, different?
Or it's considerably different because Twitter is more like when I put them all down as my when I put them all down in my little system, I look at Twitter as almost like a billboard company. Because what you're doing is writing a little blurb and pointing somebody somewhere. It's almost like turn here for, you know, for fresh barbecue. You know, it's almost like a sign. Because you can't really, a lot of people try to make a message that really is compelling in Twitter, and you don't really want one to be compelling. You just want them to go somewhere. Mm. You're selling the click. So basically, Twitter's like a billboard company. To me, Facebook is like this multimedia, very advanced thing. But Facebook runs, when you get the real crux of Facebook runs on photos. It's almost all driven by photos. Because there are 3.5 billion photos inside Facebook. 3.5 billion. And right now, if you ask somebody if your house is on fire, what's the first thing you grab to get out of your house with? Your pictures.
All your pictures, yeah.
They're the most, well, other than your kids.
Right.
But here's your kids and your family, of course. But I mean, for an object, if you could only get one thing out, what would it be? Almost everybody says your photos.
Right.
So Facebook was really smart. They know that photos are endearing to people. They don't want to lose them. That's the sticky factor to Facebook. That's the reason Facebook has 350,000 new people signing up every day, has over 300 million users. The average user's on Facebook. Do you know average user's on Facebook 19 minutes a day?
Is that a little or a lot?
That's a lot. Considering the average user is on Google about 53 seconds a day,
mm-hmm.
To give you an example. It's one of the longest tail, one of the longest lag time indicators websites in the world. eBay used to be longer. I think eBay is shorter now. I think Facebook may be the site that people stay on longer. Ancestry.com has a long tail. People stay on it for a long time.
So what are the ways that people can then take some Facebook strategies away from this call we're having here today? What are Facebook?
I'll give you a couple quick ones. One thing on Facebook is that one of the biggest mistakes I see people make in Facebook. Two things: when you set up your Facebook account, Facebook pairs you with people based on the answers to all the questions they ask you when you set up. Okay. The less information you give Facebook when you set up, the fewer people they can connect you with. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what I would suggest that people do is go back to their Facebook profile if they already have one. About 70% of Americans have a Facebook account. Go back and everywhere it asks you a question, fill out those questions with every answer you can think of until you fill up every character allowable in Facebook inside your profile. The more diverse your profile, the more people Facebook can connect you with. Okay? That's really, really important. The way you set up Facebook is really important. Because you want to show every interest, even things you're mildly interested in. If you've got room to put them in there, put them in there. Because Facebook's going to pair you with people to be friends with you based on your interest. Okay? That's number one.
And they're going to start showing you ads that are based on your interest, too.
Well, they are, and I don't have time on this call to explain, but I use Facebook ads very effectively too.
Okay.
That's something I'll talk about a little bit out at the conference.
Cool.
But your Facebook ads are amazing because you can target, drill down just to an amazing level. The second big thing with Facebook is, you know, we talked about pictures. People make a big mistake with Facebook usually, and they'll set up their Facebook and they go in and they got 2,000 pictures in their online database of photos or what are on their computer, and they dump them all into Facebook in one day. They dump all their photos in. And then the next day, they're like, they don't have anything to send out. They done used all theirs up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest that you trickle in a few photos a day. If you've got 100, 200 photos, 500 photos, I don't care. Just trickle in 2 or 3 a day. Because the objective is to stay in people's consciousness daily. Does that make sense?
Right.
But put in 2 or 3 photos a day, 2 or 3 photos a day. And always tag everyone in the photos. By tagging, I mean Facebook allows people to go in and put a tag in showing who's in the photograph. People don't really understand the complexity of that. Like if somebody comes to my house and takes a photo, somebody did not too long ago, took a photo of Ryan Dice was at my house, I was at my house, Mike Diller was at my house, and this other guy was at my house. They took a photo of us in my pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that photo went out on this person's account, a guy named Dave Gonzalez, a local guy here in Austin, nice guy, went on his account. He may only have, I don't know how many friends he's got, but all of his friends saw that photo, right?
Right.
But guess what? Because we were tagged in that, every one of my friends saw that photo. Every one of Ryan's friends saw that photo. Every one of Mike Dillard's friends saw that photo. Okay? So he just got his photo distributed to 20,000 people instead of 2 or 3,000 are in his list, right?
Right.
Then next, guess what all of our people in social media are kind of automatically trained to do? Comment. And every time somebody, it's one of my friends, commented on that photo showed up in their timeline and all their friends saw it. So if I get 30 or 40 comments on a photo, potentially that photo, David only has, David, I don't know how many people David has, but let's say he has 2 or 3,000 friends. That photo has the potential to be seen by 40, 50,000 people. And they all link back to me, Ryan, Mike, but more importantly, they link back to Dave Gonzalez. And they may go, oh, that guy's a friend of Dave and Ryan's. I may want to go be his friend. We have something in common.
Is there such a thing called tag spam? Has that been?
Yeah, there is. Tag spam is kind of when people tag you to a photo without your permission.
Yeah.
And you're going to see it pop up in your timeline. You can automatically go in and remove a tag.
Okay.
Nobody can tag a photo without, they can tag it without your permission, but you have the ability to go in and untag it.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, so that's kind of the number two. Gosh, there's a lot of things with Facebook videos. I'll post and repost, remove and repost videos. Like when I put a video up in Facebook, if it's a timeless video, I'll post it. I put it up first in YouTube, and my YouTube, I've got a YouTube plugin. It's getting a little technical inside Facebook, our YouTube application inside Facebook that shows my YouTube videos up in my Facebook timeline. So as soon as I do a new video, I put it up in YouTube, it automatically goes into Facebook. Then I'll wait a week, and I'll upload the photo to Facebook's video player. And usually within a week, the people who saw the video the first week, there's a whole other group of video people that see the video the second week when it's uploaded to Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get more comments, more. After 2 weeks or 3 weeks, when the comments have died down to nothing and nobody's really watching that video anymore, I remove the video. And in a couple of weeks, and don't do this like remove it one day and put it back up the next or in a few hours. But in a few weeks, I may decide to re-upload that video again. And it'll usually hit an entirely new audience. Because the thing with social media is, even though I've got like, I think on Twitter I have 105,000 people now, they're not all going to see everything I put out. A lot of those people aren't on Twitter at the time that I send out a message. So, I mean, you know, that's one of the strategies I use on Twitter. I send out messages, and if I've got something I really want to distribute, I'll send it out a couple times in the morning, a couple times in the afternoon, a couple times at night, a couple times late night. Same message.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a completely different audience on at those different times. So, and Facebook can kind of be, if you don't have a blog yet, Facebook's a great place to basically blog and create your own blog and your own memos and whatnot.
Would you say that blog is the same as a fan page, or is that different? Is that
no? A fan page is considerably different. A fan page is a great tool to have with Facebook. If you're if you have a Facebook account, you can get a fan page, and a fan page is basically today they're almost just like a friend page, but they have a couple of interesting power features. One, the big limitation to Facebook is you can only have 5,000 friends. I reached that limit in 22 days.
Hmm.
So when you do things the right way in social media, your audience just absolutely blooms, right? So I maxed that out 22 days. The cool part is a fan page has no limit to how many friends you can have or how many fans you can have. So it's unlimited. That's number one. Number two, and that's really cool, is a fan page can be set to be totally public. So where on my friends page, people have to be a member of Facebook. They have to be a friend of mine to see yada, yada, yada. On the fan page that I have at Facebook, anybody can see it. It's in the search engines. You know, people find it. And you can do some really cool things with those fan pages. One of the big things that most people don't know you can do with fan pages, Facebook actually allows you to put an opt-in form, an AWeber or a One Shopping Cart or any kind, really, HTML, opt-in form on your Facebook fan page and actually suck lead away from Facebook onto your own email list.
What do you need to do that?
You have to embed it in an area. When you're setting up your fan page profile, look for something called Profile HTML.
Okay.
And under Profile HTML, you can drop HTML in there, and it will pop up in your sidebar to the left. And you have to tweak with it a little bit. And if you don't know much about HTML, you might get a programmer to do it. It shouldn't be any more than 50 to, at the max, maybe a couple $100 to get a guy to do that for you. And usually it'll really reap a lot of benefit, because a lot of times I'll post videos to Facebook and not post them to YouTube just so I can send people from Twitter over to Facebook to watch a video.
Mm-hmm.
And that while they're on the fan page watching the video, they tend to subscribe to the fan page. And a lot of times they'll tend to subscribe or take the bribe that you have to get them to join your to get them to join Facebook.
Does Facebook let people...
I mean, to get them to join your email list, rather. Pardon?
Does Facebook let people upload audio, like they let people upload videos and pictures? Can, like, I do an audio? Like, let's say I took this interview. Can I put this up in Facebook, or then not do, like, a little audio section there?
You know what? I don't know.
Hmm.
I truly don't know. I think that you could...
convert it to a video.
I think you could... Yeah, you could definitely convert it to video. I don't know if they would or not. I've never tried to upload... audio to Facebook. I don't remember there being a tab for it. What you could do is probably put an audio player on your blog and upload the blog post.
Okay.
You can link to a blog post and upload a link, and it'll usually pull whatever's inside that blog post up into a Facebook. But I don't know if that would work for audio or not. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'll find out before I see you in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating stuff, you guys. I mean, When your whole world is internet marketing, and you're thinking, how can I send out emails? How can I write a sales letter that converts? You know, how can I do all this article marketing and all the stuff that we do as internet marketers? And you start totally changing the shift of your focus to from marketing to connecting and relationships and serving and giving. The whole outlook changes, and it's a lot of reprogramming, and I'm going through it right now, Perry. I'm going through all this reprogramming myself. You know, even as I market and promote this conference, I'm like, how can I stop being a marketer and just be, hey, this is great. Great conference is going to take place in the Midwest. You know, just kind of getting out there in the social media streams so it's not hypey and promotional and just, you know, giving away great content with these free interview series for people, hoping that, you know, it gets retweeted and gets connected and gets, you know, thrown out there and passed around, you know, because that's what we all want. We want this stuff to get passed around without us having to do it ourselves. Any tips you can give for me as the host of this event? How can we get this thing through social media in a better way?
You know, I'll tell you, there's a couple things. By the way, can I add one more thing? We got a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to remind everybody of to think about for a minute. This is a pretty interesting statistic, and I've read it several places, and I believe it to be true. I don't have absolute documentation, but these are very reliable sources say this. You know, you were saying you're moving over to more relationship marketing. You know why I believe so heavily in this? It's not only because of my beliefs in it, it's because of the facts. This is where the people are.
Mm-hmm.
Today, online, at this very moment, according to Nielsen and a bunch of others, 60% of the people that are on a computer right now are inside a social media site somewhere. 60. It was 50% at the first of the year, about 7 months ago. It's growing that fast.
Yeah.
So remember that. If you think you're going to stay in the old school way, you're going to end up only having 20 or 30% of the total market to work with.
You have to be where the people are. And all your people are on Facebook. Yeah. They're on Twitter. They're in LinkedIn. They're on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's where they are. So that's where you got to be.
Yeah. So how could you help your event? I'll tell you what I believe I would do. And we haven't had an event that we could do this with. We had an event back here a couple months ago, but it was a different kind of event. It's all out really quick. But one of the things that you might want to do is run this. I run this little. I call them fake out Facebook ads. I run one a lot of the times. I'm running it now. I took it down for a little while, but I run it from time to time, where I have my photo, and my headline is just Perry Belcher. That's it. And then underneath it says $56,754, whatever it is, in merchandise using, you know, on online marketing, da 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 da. And I have a very, very weak call to action. I don't even tell them I don't think to do anything. You can follow him to find out how he did it. I don't tell them how to follow me. I don't tell them anything else. The ad sucks. On purpose. The ad sucks on purpose. What I wanted from the ad is exactly what I got. 3.5 million people in like a 4-month period saw my face, saw my name, saw my credentials, and made a little mental note in the back of their head. And I became very recognized in this industry. Out of 3.5 million people that saw the ad, you know how many clicked on the ad?
No, how many?
2,400.
Not a lot.
Guess how much money I had to pay for the other 3,400,000 and however many thousand impressions that I got?
Zero.
Zero. It's totally free. So what you might want to do is run a bad ad in Facebook. Midwest Internet Marketing Conference. Speakers, you know, speakers from all over, da 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 da. And put the dates in there, put where it's going to be. And I think a lot of people would see that ad and then go over to Google and search it. Because I think they don't even realize they can click on those ads sometimes. Because Facebook has made the ad so much a part of the layout, I don't know that people know they're clickable.
So instead of making...
And if some people click through to it, great.
Instead
but if
of
they
making
don't
it,
click through it...
Instead of making it like a logo, you want to have your picture there, not a branding picture, not a logo picture, a box copy.
Well, like in your event, I would probably have a picture of the event room or something.
Okay,
like that.
I got something like that.
But what I would do is I'd make an ad that necessarily wasn't going to get clicked on.
Okay.
And you may only want to... One of the cool things about... I don't know about your event, but it's a Midwest conference, so I assume that you pull a lot of audience from the Midwest, correct?
A lot. Well, it's very local right now. We're getting a lot of people from the Twin Cities.
See, you could run that on everyone's Facebook profile that's interested in marketing in Minneapolis and St. Paul,
mm-hmm.
and have it on their page every single day from now until the event.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, and it would cost you practically nothing. Honestly, it'll be shocking as how little that'll cost you, and I'll bet you you'll do amazing things with bringing people into your event. I love Facebook ads right now. I'm very high on Facebook ads. We're not getting the volume in a lot of cases that we'd like to get, but the ROI is staggering.
Hmm.
I mean, it's 10-1 in some cases, 20-1. In some cases.
Talk about real quick here, Perry. And we're running out of time here. How have attending live events and conferences been impacting for you, for your businesses?
Oh, I can say pretty surely that had I not attended events like, Yannick Silver is a good friend of mine. One of the first events that I went to was Yannick's event. Had I not attended that event, met Yannick, I don't know where I'd be right now, because I was already making money. I was already successful at that time online, but I got way, way, way more successful. But what I didn't have were friends in the industry. You know, I think a lot of people in the internet marketing business, I know there's a lot of people in the internet marketing business that are sitting in their house right now and they're making some money and they're going, wow, I can't believe I'm making money doing this. But they don't know anybody in the industry at all. They don't have any JV deals. They don't. And JV deals are where it's at, man. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have any JV deals because they don't have any friends. Because you know who people do JV deals with?
People they meet at conferences. the friends they meet.
People that they know, like, and trust. It's the same thing. That's the most powerful thing that I've learned in social media. We all do business with people we know, like, and trust. And one of the quickest ways to get to know somebody, like somebody, and trust somebody is to meet them face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
Social media is great. It doesn't touch face-to-face, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, face-to-face is great. But that's the next level, though. You know what? That's the next level. The next level is really, you know, for all those internet marketers who like to hunker behind our computers, it was all about just doing everything automated and never having to leave our, you know, our underwear. I found now that getting out and, you know, creating meetups like me and Reed Florine, I don't know if you know Reed, but Reed and I do a local meetup here in the Twin Cities, face-to-face, real social media interaction, you know, handshakes, hugs, high fives, that kind of stuff is the best. And that's what a conference produces for people, that same environment.
I can tell you, just being going to events and being in masterminds make me $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Of the connections that I make and the people that I talk to and the JV deals that I do will make me at least.
Yeah, that's what Tom Wheelwright, he's the guy that's coming to talk about, you know, tax reduction and stuff. He said the same thing. He said, you know, if I just went to 8 conferences a year and that's all I did, I'd have enough customers and clients and people to do business with. I'd never have to do any of the marketing ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's shocking. And one of the things I would warn people about is when I see people really slip up at is when you go to the event, it's very important to learn, but it's also very important to go to the mixer events, get to know people. And when you're done, follow up. I mean, I see so many people that I bet you at an average conference, you know, 50 people, 100 people will give me a card or make a contact or something with me. And one or two will follow up.
Yeah.
You know, and guess who gets to do deals?
The ones that follow up?
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as it can be. If you don't follow up, you know, you're not showing any tenacity. Nobody's going to take you seriously.
But you got to
meet them before you can follow up with them.
Last question, and then I'll let you get going. Bullet points of some of the things they can look forward to hearing from you that we didn't get to talk about today. What are some really good takeaways that you're going to be hammering for people when they come to Midwest Super Conference?
Okay. I'm going to show you what I do with Twitter, how I you know, really in the trenches, ways that I use Twitter, and some little tricks and tweaks that I've got. I'm going to show 3 or 4 really cool tricks with Facebook, with YouTube, and with Twitter, and really talk a lot about the triangulation method that I use to tie everything together, which I think is the biggest secret to what I do. Because right now, if I stop doing anything, like I was on vacation for the last 10 days, and my Twitter list grew by 1,000 people.
Hmm.
I didn't do any. I was on vacation. I was on a beach. I didn't even open a computer. You know, I don't have to do anything anymore. This kind of happens because everything is triangulated and tied together so well. I'll be talking about that a lot. I'll talk about YouTube quite a little bit. Not necessarily how to make videos. My videos are the worst videos online. I make them with a $100 camera and I don't script anything and I bang them out as quick as I can. And I'm going to show you why that's so important that you do it that way. Getting too fancy and too slick can kill you.
Yeah.
And I'll show you how I get, like, I get 10 times as many comments on my videos as most people do because I use a couple of techniques to increase my comments because I realize that comments drive the popularity of the video even more than the views.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll show you how I use, I'll show you more importantly how I move people from social media onto my email list, which I think a lot of people want to learn how to do.
Right.
I'll show you 3 or 4 really good techniques for doing that. We'll talk about 3 or 4 of my best ways of monetizing social media. Free affiliate videos. I'll talk about reviews. I'll talk about some really ninja list building tricks that I don't really show anybody. Because the one of my biggest secrets, I think, is moving people from social media on their email list. Because people can't believe it. I know people that have 50,000 people on social media, and they've moved 2,000 or 3,000 of them on an email list and can't figure out how to do it.
Right.
And the email list to me is the back porch. That's when I start doing business. When somebody has signed up to my email list, they're asking me what I do. And then I feel good about telling them. You know, they've requested. I mean, I think it's Kennedy that says it's way better to be an invited guest than a something pest. a welcome guest than an unwelcome pest.
Right.
You know, and I think most people are unwelcome pests in social social media. So once they, you know, I give them an opportunity, hey, you want to know what I do? Sign up here, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on down, and I'll show you what I do, and if it's for you, great. If it's not, hit that unsubscribe button. Go on about your business. No trouble.
I mean, this brings up another point. You know, the social media stuff is still so new. I still feel like it's wild, wild west. Like, it hasn't been established. I don't think it's like it's too late to get in the game. Do you think for people who want to become like the social media expert, like you are recognized as an expert, but I think everyone who is serious about this, if they wanted to be like the social media consultants to big corporations or small corporations or mom and pop corporations, can they take the content they learn from something like you are going to be sharing and actually start having an income with this kind of a thing?
Oh, dude. Let me tell you. I know people right now that have jobs as social media experts in corporations that are hilarious. They don't know their butt from peanut butter. I promise you. And people, all these companies are dying for people that know what they're doing. But I'll tell you, if it were me, I probably wouldn't go that route. I'll tell you what's a bigger opportunity, in my opinion, is showing people and businesses social media in your community, right in your local towns.
Yeah.
I had dinner last night, as a matter of fact, with a good friend in Atlanta, and he's teaching restaurants in his town how to use social media to drive their audience. And he's getting anywhere $1,000-$2,000 a month from these restaurants to set up their social media campaigns and help them run them.
So
it's been in a few minutes a day.
It comes back to that outsourcing stuff. Getting people to do it all for you is really the trick.
Yeah, because people don't want to fish. Most people don't want to learn how to fish. They just want the damn fish.
Yeah.
You know?
That's powerful stuff.
And if you'll do it for them, you know, it's crazy. We have do-it-for-them services, and guess who does them? Ain't me. You know, my buddy Ryan always says, he's got a great saying. He says, you know, outsource, automated means I ain't got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, automated doesn't always have to be software or technology. Automated means I'm not the one that has to do it. It's an automated process as long as I don't have to do it.
Yeah, but I'm a big believer in outsourcing. That's kind of my whole deal. Well, Perry, thanks for hanging out with us here for the last hour and just sharing your heart and some of these great strategies about using social media and how it's been effective for you. And I just want to remind people again, if you still haven't made a decision yet, now's the time to do so. As we are running down here for the last few days before the conference will be getting started, I want to encourage you, if you haven't got a ticket, to go to MidwestSuperConference.com/4. And then right on that page, scroll down to the very, very bottom. Just zoom, jump down to the bottom. You don't even need to read the sales letter because you basically know everything you need to know already off this call about how powerful this conference is going to be. And click on that button that says order, and we're giving away free tickets this year, Perry. I mean, it's a zero cost conference. People are going to put $97 bucks down as a deposit, and when they come to the conference, they're actually going to be giving them that $97 bucks back. So it's really going to be nothing other than their cost to get here and travel. And we also have a VIP program they can get involved with, and that's a really good program where you guys can upgrade and actually spend time with our speakers, have lunches with our speakers and other VIPs, and network with people who are going to, you know, become your friends and people you're going to do business with, joint ventures and stuff. So take one of those two options, the $97 ticket or the $197 ticket, and make a decision today to come. It's September the 11th through the 13th. It's just a few short days and weeks away, depending on when you're listening to this audio. Share this information with some other people you know in the area that might like to embrace this conference. Let them know about it. Use some of the social media techniques we've talked about today to kind of share it with your people on your profiles, on your streams, and your Twitter accounts. Let the world know about this conference. We'd love to see just a ton of people here because we're all about helping people. And we know that the speakers we have coming this year, it's the best speaker lineup I've ever had. And the information you're going to walk away from this thing, I guarantee, I mean, I can put a strong guarantee on that, that the information that we give you at this conference will show you the keys to the kingdom, give you those keys to the promised land, where you can become very wealthy with the information. So, Perry, thanks for what you do. Thanks for bringing it today to this call. And we'll see you just a few short weeks away, my friend.